Don't live in burnout. Get in God. You'll be more blessed than you've ever been before if you follow God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please welcome Reverend Jesse Wallace.
How about that presence? Oh my goodness gracious. I tell people, if you ever encounter his presence, I know, there's nothing like the presence. Oh, there's nothing like his presence. I mean it. Oh, Lord help me. So good. If you have your Bibles, then I hope you do. Let's turn to Luke, please. We're going to talk about miracles. What an atmosphere to talk about miracles, amen. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to come and continue the worship and offering. Okay. Whew, come on. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. So it was, as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret or something like that. Thank you. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to put it out just a little bit. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, I want you to catch that part right there. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night long and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And then they had done this. They caught a great number of fish and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and to help. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and they followed him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a story. What's interesting to me about this moment was that Peter and Jesus were already acquainted. They already knew each other. Jesus and Peter had met. If you'll back up to verse 38 in chapter 4, it said that Jesus was in Peter's house. So you have to be pretty intimate with someone to be in their home. So Jesus was in Peter's home and prayed for his mother-in-law. They had asked Jesus to pray for her, and she had fever. She was healed. So then you skip over to chapter 5, and then you have this miraculous moment where they've toiled all night long. They've caught nothing. So Peter had already encountered Jesus performing miracles. Peter saw it with his own eyes. He encountered a miracle. He didn't hear of a miracle. He saw a miracle. But where was Peter's faith? Miracles don't always cause your faith to rise, but they do create expectancy. Amen? So Jesus had told Peter, push the boat out. See, what I love about what Jesus did here, which is why we do the offering word, is you want to hear the word to get your faith up. Amen. You hear the word, hearing causes your faith to rise. We know because the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus heals the mother-in-law, but nothing happened when Peter fished all night long and no fish came. Jesus was standing right there. What was the difference? What was the difference? I believe it was the word that Jesus spoke. I believe when Jesus got into that boat, he didn't just choose Peter's boat and happenstance. I believe he chose Peter's boat. He got in that boat and he sat down and he said exactly what Peter needed to hear. You see, there were other fishermen there that day that heard that same word, but didn't have the same response. Why? Because that word was for Peter. Peter heard that word and his faith rose. Now, listen, Peter did what we all would have done. He was up all night long. He was exhausted. Peter was no ordinary fisherman. He was a very skilled fisherman. This was his job. He knew what he was doing. Okay? So when Jesus said to him, Peter, push the boat out a little further and cast out your net. He started to go with the natural. But Jesus, Lord, we have fished all night long. We have caught nothing. But hearing and hearing, amen. He said, but Lord, at your word, that's the moment. That's the moment that it shifted for Peter. Come on. So here it is. Jesus is speaking to the people. Bam. He turned straight to Peter. Peter, do this. His faith was there. He met Jesus right there. Amen. So, Peter gets out there. When I'm reading this and I'm studying this, I try to imagine myself as Peter. Cause we've all been in positions where Jesus has asked us to do something and we've already kind of been doing it, Jesus. Like we already done it, but nothing was changing. What happened? The word came. The word came. What was the difference between Jesus healing the mother-in-law and Jesus giving the command? See, Jesus had the authority to command the sickness to leave. The sickness left. What happened over here? Peter had to choose to operate in obedience and faith. When he chose to operate in obedience and faith, what happens? Absolute miracles happen. Absolute miracles happen. When there is obedience in faith, it sets the stage for absolute mind. They were awestruck, it says. Their minds couldn't even comprehend what just happened. It was unfathomable. It had never occurred before. I would have been astonished at Jesus telling the sickness to leave, but that must have been a pretty regular occurrence for Jesus because over here, they were awestruck, okay? Because you have to remember that fish was currency, right? Peter's livelihood. So in one act of obedience, Peter had nothing to his name. He had not a fish to give. All he did was say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. At your word, Lord. I've done all I know to do in the natural. I have toiled, I have worked, I have done everything I'm skilled to do. But there is power in the word. Amen? Hallelujah. So Peter goes out, he drops that net, and what happens? Wham! Fish by the multitudes. I can hear those fish now. Ooh, I want to be in on this. Let's go. You know? So here they come. The nets are breaking. The boat is sinking. Guys, help out. See what happens when you get into radical obedience and faith when it makes absolutely no sense. The people around you that are connected to you are going to start to become blessed. They're going to start getting into the overflow themselves. Why? Because it's a product of who you are now. It's a product of your radical obedience. This is what the word of God tells us. It happens because when we align ourselves with what Jesus says, then we align ourselves with the absolute supernatural miracle working power of God. What is it? It's the thousandfold. It's the thousandfold. Peter had just stepped into the thousandfold. Amen. It's Malachi 3:10. I'm going to turn over there. Let's turn to Malachi 3:10. Real quick. It's very short, right in front of Matthew. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be food in my house. And try me now. Try me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough in to receive it. Amen. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do you see? Anytime you get over into radical obedience, God will not just meet your need. He won't just meet your need. Did Peter have a need? Oh yes, he didn't have a single fish to his name. He had need. He had need. But obedience in faith caused something to shift in the atmosphere. It caused something to shift in the atmosphere. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You see, when you align your giving and your tithing to the word of God, the word that Jesus spoke in obedience. Yes, you've toiled. Yes, you've worked. Yes, you've done it all. But you see, your natural needs to be paired with his super. When you put his super on your natural, you get supernatural results. Why? It is not you that is doing it. It is your obedience in faith that causes the realm of the impossibilities to become reality. You will operate in boat sinking, net breaking, other people blessing. I'm going to tell you right now, Peter's life was changed, obviously, from that moment forward, but so were the people that encountered his blessing. And that is how it is to live in the kingdom realm. When you operate and get your finances into the kingdom realm, you will operate just like Peter operated. Amen. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Let's receive our offering. Thank you, Father God, that we have radical givers in this house, God. Oh, hallelujah. And Father, we thank you that they hear from the Holy Spirit. They don't just give out of necessity. They don't give out of pressure, but they give because they hear from you, Lord. And they are tied to that thousandfold. They are tied to that obedience in faith, Father God, which sets them up for overflow. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Yes, if you want to give online, give VCHL the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and we will complete your gift and we'll receive it in faith. Amen.
So, Lord, I'm a tither.
I'm a tither.
You know, one thing, if you're not a tither, don't be, you know, thinking that it's the same. Tithing means you actually take 10% of your earnings and you give it into the place where you are fed spiritual food. That's not the partnerships you have with ministry. That's the church you go to. And if this church doesn't feed you food, then you need to find one that does and tithe there. That's right.
Yeah, it's true.
But we can't pretend that we're tithers if we're not. You either are or you're not.
Amen.
Now, if you're not, you need to start confessing that you are. But it's still true. It is not legalism. It is not under the law. Abraham tithed before the law. Adam tithed before the law. In fact, that's what got him in trouble. He decided to take something of God's. Amen. And so did Achan. And you know what happened there? Jericho was won, but the battle of Ai was lost because Achan took the They use the word cursed, but it's actually the devoted thing, and he put it in his tent. See, God told them, he said, when you conquer Jericho, all of that first is my tithe. The first is the tithe. And so he didn't obey, and it got everybody in trouble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just, when y'all do the offering, it just gets me stirred up to preach on about it. Glory to God. That was good, Jess. Praise the Lord. Danny, what's my date on this? Next March 17th. Okay. Have y'all ever seen a show called So You Think You Can Dance?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to start a new group. We'll call it Life Group right now, but I'm not sure what we're going to call it. And it's called So You Think You Can Preach. So at 6:00 on March 17th, if you sign up, you can come to a class and we're going to give you an opportunity to preach to me. and I'm going to be hardcore. So do not come with your feelings on your sleeve. Do not come in disobedience and don't do what I tell you to do. Come and do what I'm asking you to do. And I'm going to teach you some things that I learned, and some things that I think are appropriate for our house. And so you can come. We're going to go age, how old are you? We're going to go age 14 up then. Okay. So that's what we're going to do. So you can sign up and then just have 2 minutes of wonderful ready. And then I'm going to bring a gong. No, no, Deb already told me. No, you're not doing that to them. I was like, it'll be fun. Thank God for Deb. Anyway, many of you could care less about this. Now, this is not a sign up because we're going to put you behind the holy desk every week, okay? But this could be your start to see what you got going. Also, just in what people call layman's terms, I feel like we all have ministry, but being able to speak publicly will always help you. Am I right, Matt? Yeah, so if you'd like to sign up and come to that, come, and we'll be happy to have you. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Galatians 3. Sorry, yes, 3:13, that's where we're going. My afternoon is 6. I have another appointment this afternoon, and it's Galatians 6. This morning is Galatians 3. Glory to God. Well, we've had church already. Amen. Been good this morning, Miss Kathy, hadn't it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you. Hey, that matches my shirt. I bet Amanda thought of that. Okay. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles and in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Good? Now, so we've been redeemed. Okay. Now, 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. How did the law curse us? Very simple. We couldn't keep it. We couldn't keep it. The law itself is not bad, church. It's not bad. It's a good idea not to murder or lie or steal or hate or worship other gods. It's a, that, those are all good ideas. But the problem with the law is that it could tell you what you were doing wrong, but it had no power to help you do what is right. Okay? So we couldn't live by the law. We need to live by the grace that Jesus Christ provided for us. Amen. So grace then came and empowered us. Mercy forgave us. And Jesus gave his life and paid fully. As it was said, it's fully paid for. It's a done deal. Now, so there are four words. I'm going to go over this with you one more time for the word redeem. I'll give them to you in a nutshell. Jesus came to the slave market where you were being held captive. He permanently removed you from Satan's power. He was willing to pay a high price to get you. And he restored us to the position as sons of God. We are sons of God. He paid with his blood. The word says, the life is in the blood. We've gone over and over that, right? The life is in the blood. There is light in the life of God, and the light cast away darkness. Darkness can't stay where light is. Light's in the life. We should have gotten that by now. I've been on that since about November, the end of November, but we're getting that. Praise the Lord. So the blood of Jesus then, one of the things that scripture said was that the blood of Jesus was precious. Now that word precious, it means great value. Mm-hmm. Church, the blood of Jesus is so dear to the Father. Oh. So dear to the Father. It should be so dear to us. When you honor the blood, the glory comes. That's why Jesse could hardly stand up and preach. That's why we had God giving words and giving fresh starts today and changing people's lives, because we're singing about the blood and he's showing up, because he is the life that's in the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, he was born with blood from above. His blood was not like, we were born with Adam's blood. It was corrupted. Jesus is born from the Father's blood. So he didn't have corrupted blood. Now, this is what we learned about the blood of Jesus so far. Once again, Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So Jesus' blood has everlasting life in it, or what we would call Zoe, the God kind of life, eternal life. And he spilled his blood. When he spilled his blood, church, it didn't evaporate on the ground and be nothing and just be something they had to come clean up. No, Jesus' blood stayed in the realm of the spirit. His blood was filled with life that could not be done away with. And so his blood spilled became available in this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus died and the veil rent? That made way for Holy Spirit to come into the earth, right? Right? Well, when his veil was rent and the blood was spilled, that made way for you to come into him. Praise the Lord. Okay. So it was payment for the wages of sin. So 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Every person, listen to me, that came up in the healing line, every person, guess what? By his wounds, you were healed. It's working right now. It's working right now in the fresh starts, and it's working right now if you need healing in your body. You came up here, the anointing is released, and right now where you're sitting, it's working. The healing is working right now. So don't stop it and go, I don't feel any different. It's working right now. Jesus said so, or Peter actually said so right here, and it's the truth. The word of God is the truth. By his stripes, you were already healed, so all you have to do is take it. That's why while they're laying hands on people, I'm back there saying, take it, take it, it's yours, receive it, it's yours, have a cookie. Praise the Lord. All right, so we're healed today because every tear in the body of Jesus was instant healing flowing out. Zoe Life heals broken bodies. So now then, the next thing we did on Wednesday night, we looked at the story of the Passover, and we saw that the blood protects. The blood protected. They put it on the doorpost, it protects, and then it delivered. Where people in Egypt were dying, the people out in Goshen were alive because they had put the blood over the doorpost, the blood of the lamb, right? And then that is proved over in the New Testament as well. So then we looked at this, the hidden value of the blood. Now this was probably new to some people, and we just barely touched on it on Wednesday night, but it's so very important. There's a hidden value of the blood that maybe we haven't thought about, and that is the spirit of self-sacrifice. When we let that touch our heart, church, when we let it work out in our heart, when we let a spirit of self-sacrifice work out in us, we learn to give up ourselves and our lives and press into the full power of God, into the new life, amen, which the blood provided for us. So when you began to understand the blood, and when you began to understand the cross, how precious it was for God's only Son to come and give his life, there's something that gets in your heart, that begins to work in your heart, where you begin to grow some integrity. Right. Yeah. And you begin to say, and I gave the example, did you get up with your babies at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock? You did. Yeah. Why? You self-sacrificed because that baby needed some food, right?
Right.
Well, when you grow up in the things of God, you begin, there's some times when you say, no, this is what I have to do the will of God. I'd rather be doing that, but I'm going to do this because this is what God has called me to do. And you get the spirit of self-sacrifice. Now, the truth is it pays off. It pays off in many ways. You're not losing out on anything. But sometimes at that moment, you might actually feel like, well, no, I'm going to do this. Be really good to want to sleep in on Sunday morning. But you have that spirit of self-sacrifice that says, no, I'm a part of the church. I need to be there. They're depending on me to be there. Yeah. Well, you know, Pastor, that's good for everybody that does something, but I don't really do anything. I just show up. Oh, well, we have available spots.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And you're in an available spot. When you're receiving, when you're praying, when you're working with me while I'm talking and the others as they do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what does self-sacrifice look like? It looks like loyalty. It looks like you can't be bought. Don't you love the people that can't be bought?
Yeah.
We've seen a few of them on the stage of America lately. They can't be bought. It doesn't matter. You can't even take them down. They're just like, no, this is what's right. I love that. That's the kind of people we need to be. That's what I love about Brother Copeland. He can't be bought.
No.
Anybody know who Carrie Lake is? She can't be bought for sure. So praise the Lord. So, people like that, they have great integrity. And so it looks like getting up when you want to stay in. It looks like fasting. We all fasted. I actually ran over 5 extra days. Praise the Lord. It wasn't that hard because it's worked out in my heart.
Yeah.
Worked out. I did eat a flour tortilla yesterday though. Yes!
That's the only way.
We're sitting there and I'm like, okay, this is enough. And then Deb says, excuse me, do y'all have any real butter?
Yeah.
I was like, yes, Jesus. But you know, sometimes we call for no butter and no flour tortilla. Amen? And that's because you want to move into, and you tell yourself no sometimes. So it looks like watching your words. It looks like supporting the church. It looks like being honest even when it hurts.
Yeah.
It looks like forgiving when you'd rather not.
Yeah.
By the blood of Jesus, you are redeemed from spiritual death, healed in your body, redeemed from the curse, given pure life, given a life of integrity if you'll let it work out in your heart. And those are the things that we've worked on so far. Now today, Hebrews 12:18, let's go there and we're going to read a long ways into this. And my introduction was longer than my word today, but we need to go over it. Amen. Okay. So, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. Are y'all there? Sorry, y'all are still turning. Hebrews 12:18. I hear those pages turning. Coming around the bend. She's singing a Johnny Cash song. Yes. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. He's born again in heaven. Thank God for Miss June Carter. Amen. He picked the right wife. Thank you, Jesus. That was for you, Johnny. All right. Now, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest. You haven't come there. The sound of the trumpet, the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. Remember how I'm always telling you? I always tell you this. The Israelites did not want to hear God. They said, Moses, you talk to them. This is what this is talking about. They're like, huh, this is scary. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, Moses comes down shining like, you know, a big light bulb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, that's what they're saying. Now, verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid, trembling. So even Moses is going, wow. But here's our place. But you have come to Mount Zion. That's the Zion realm for us. Okay. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, not Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. To innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks. The blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, so we answer to the Zion realm. We answer to heaven. We see God the judge. We see Jesus the lawyer or the mediator and the blood that speaks. So we see a court here. Can you see it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in our courtrooms today, this happens every day. Defendants stand before the judge accused of a crime. You with me? Yeah. Everybody still here? Yeah. Okay. So their guilt or innocence hangs in the balance at that moment. Either they're going to be convicted and punished or acquitted and set free.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. The verdict depends on what? The testimony of the witness. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's it's going to depend on that. So when the in heaven, in the court of heaven, this same scene unfolds, the devil acts as the prosecutor. And the accuser of the brethren. He brings charges against us like he did with Job. Remember when it said the sons of God appear before God? It's talking about angels. Well, so I don't know how it happens, but he gets in there.
Yeah.
Somehow he gets in there and he gets to accuse you in the realm. Mm-hmm. And so he comes to court with a lineup of what Ronnie did this week, or Patty or Hector and or any of you. And if he found some loophole, he's gonna go and accuse you of something. That's what the courts of heaven do. So Father is the presiding judge over our case. So this is good. Your dad is on. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So he loves us. And so he wants to rule in favor over us, but divine justice demands. Now listen to this. Divine justice demands that proper evidence be presented, right?
Yeah.
Proper evidence needs to, cause, so God just can't say, oh, I think they're all right.
Right.
No, God is true. He's not gonna lie for you. He's not gonna become unholy for you. He's holy. And there's a holy justice right now working in the spirit realm. Okay. Now, so, this is a legal battle that must be won according to the law. So the judge has to call for a witness and we will see who's guilty and who isn't. So only they can shut the accuser's mouth. Now the witnesses for our defense take the stand. So here comes our witnesses. 1 John 5:6. Jesus Christ is the one who was revealed as God's son by his water baptism and by the blood of his cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms this with his testimony. Right? Okay. Verse 7. So we have these three constant witnesses giving our evidence, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement. So you've got some good witnesses here. I'm reading scripture. I just read 6-8. These witnesses testify that our guilt has already been paid for.
Amen.
Already been paid for. Are you on the same page with me?
Yeah.
Jesus paid with his blood and his beating and his life and his suffering for you.
Yes.
He already paid. It's already paid. Okay. And The Spirit of God, the blood of Jesus, the Father, the Son, they're all in agreement. They're all witnesses, Spirit, I mean. They're all witnesses that you're guilt-free.
Amen.
They are. According to God's legal system, then he would declare that the matter is settled.
Yeah.
The blood took care of it.
Yes.
Right? So we would say the case is closed. Now, this is where you might say, if the case is closed, why is the devil giving me so much trouble? Well, let me tell you why. Because in your life, one more witness is needed.
Oh.
One more witness is needed.
Yeah.
They're all agreeing. They're all agreeing that you're free.
Oh, this is good. Yeah.
But you need one more witness. One more.
Right.
One. They're saying, no, 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 it's paid for. It's paid for. Wow. But you need one more witness. Yeah. They gave their testimony. Now you give yours.
Amen. Wow.
The verdict of heaven must become a reality to you.
Yeah.
So you have to use your mouth and say something.
Yeah.
Say the same thing God is saying.
Yes.
He said, you're redeemed. You're free. You're guiltless. It's over. You're paid for and you're healed.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to testify into this atmosphere that that is the truth.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Huh. Then preach myself happy.
Yeah.
So, you have the power to cast down the accusations of Satan and overcome him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the what? The word of your what? Your testimony. You have to testify to it. You have to agree with it. You just can't say Jesus paid it and God said so.
Yeah.
Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so. This is good.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not just the blood of the Lamb, but you apply the blood with words.
Yes.
You're going to have to open your mouth and talk.
Yeah.
Look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Do it when you're driving down the road.
Yeah.
Do it when you're weeding your garden. Do it when you're fishing. Do it when you're on your way to whatever it is. I am the righteousness of God. I am guilt-free. And there are times when possibly you know that you opened your big mouth or you did something or you committed something, and then you would just go to the courts of heaven and say, I'm just turning myself in right now and I'm pleading the blood. And so you plead the blood and they'll close the case, and then you need to give your testimony that the case is closed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're going to have your part in on it.
Yeah.
What? Listen. Jesus paid for every sin, but it only applies to those who will take his redemption. Jesus paid for the people out right out there now who don't even believe in him. He paid for them. But unless you take it and you receive it and you say so, how'd you get saved? You believed in your heart and you said it out your mouth. Oh, Pastor, I'm just miserable. No. That's because you keep agreeing with the devil. There's no joy there. The devil's stealing your joy, and when he steals your joy, he steals your stuff. The joy is your strength. And so you may be crying a puddle, but you need to start claiming your joy back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That is our strength. All right. So you have your choice. There's power in agreement. And you can go either way. If you want to, you can go with what the enemy's saying. Yes. For the 9,000,000th time, Jesus does not make people sick or kill them. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. There's no other way. Yeah, well, maybe he did that. No. Well, yeah, but this happened. No. No. A house divided cannot stand. God can't give people cancer and Jesus heal them. God cannot say, I'm not giving them any fish, and then Jesus come along and give fish. No, God was on Jesus' side about getting the fish in the net. Don't do that to yourself. God is not teaching you a lesson with trouble. I know we talk about that all the time. That's my mission. Don't start thinking the other way. Don't start thinking that kind of stuff. No. You can't find that in the Bible. Well, Job, what Job feared came on him.
That's right.
Well, Paul's thorn. No, no, it says a messenger of Satan.
That's right.
Mm-mm. No, no. Well, I know, but my grandmother, she went early. And she was a woman of faith. Well, you don't know what was all going on with grandma.
True.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. I'm siding with Jesus. I'm siding with the blood. And that works in a powerful way against the accuser.
Yes.
So we see once again, God has set before us, you choose life or death.
Right.
You can choose. And you can put all your excuses with it if you want to and say, well, I believe God's done this. You know, that's because you don't want to face up that you're not using your faith. And I can't candy coat that at all. I can't couch that in anything. I'm just telling you, it's just the truth. You got to learn to use your faith. You got to learn to say so. You got to learn to testify to the truth.
Amen.
Don't put words on what you don't want. Amen. Amen. Now, so choose to cultivate a greater awareness of the blood of Jesus speaking.
Yes.
We'll finish up with this. Remind yourself often that his blood is speaking to God. He took it. Remember, he took it and put it on the mercy seat, right? Now, speaking to God, speaking to you, and speaking for you. The blood takes the stand and declares, not with the blood of goats and calves. This is Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So just picture in your mind, after the resurrection, Jesus, your high priest, took his precious blood into the holy place. Y'all know the Holy of Holies. Okay. To the throne of God, he sprinkled it there to secure your sanctification once and for all. It's done.
Wow.
It's done. That's what you need to see. That's what has happened. So as he sprinkled his blood, it began to speak for you and call your name. And it's never stopped. It's never stopped. Forever his blood will be speaking for you forever. And this is what it's saying, not guilty. Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. But you have to agree. I, Roxanne Alexander, have been vindicated.
Yes.
My case is closed.
Yes.
It is finished for me forever. Now, you need to say this. I say your name.
Have been vindicated.
My case is closed. It is finished forever for me. All right. Now, Revelation 12:10 said, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Now, that last part, there's that self-sacrifice stuff. Some people became martyrs. Some of us just, it just means you're giving up. You're having to give up stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. To do God's will. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, yeah, Lord, thank you. It said there in Hebrews where we were reading, It said that Jesus' blood spoke better things than Abel's blood. Do you see that? Well, Cain killed Abel, right? Because he was jealous because God rejected his offering, right? Okay. So, he killed Abel. And the scripture says in Genesis 4:10, and he said, "What have you done?" This is God talking. "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Abel was innocent. He hadn't done anything. Blood can speak because life is in it. That's how blood speaks. Life is in the blood. It's alive, so it speaks. Abel's blood is crying for justice and vengeance. I died for no cause. My brother just killed me out of jealousy, right? His blood was spilled out of jealousy. The blood of Jesus, it said there, used the word better things. Yeah. The word better means stronger, superior, more excellent, and noble. Wow. So it's better things. It cried mercy. Abel's blood cried vengeance. Jesus's blood cried mercy. Amen. So mercy, listen, mercy is stronger than vengeance. Mm-hmm. Mercy's stronger than vengeance.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Really
Amen. 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 So today, the blood of Jesus is speaking stronger things over you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The lies that the enemy tells you and the blame that he pours out on you are, listen, this is so important. How do I want to do this? Let me run at this again. This is the one thing as we close here you need to know about the devil. You need to know about the accuser. The lies that he's telling you, the blame that he pours out on you are not meant just to make you feel bad. Okay? They're not, that's not his point. You do, but it's not his point. They are meant to influence what you do. Are you with me?
Yes.
He wants to control your actions to keep you in a life of sin.
Yeah.
He'll control your actions to push you into behaving in ways that'll destroy you and everyone around you.
Right.
Okay, that's what he does.
Yeah.
So it's not just, "Oh, I feel bad." No, he's building something. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's how it works. I'm just going to tell you how it works. First, he works as a tempter to entangle you in sin. Whatever it is, whatever, oh, I don't want, whatever it is. Okay. Next, he takes on the role of accuser and then he condemns you for what you did wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you did it and then you get condemned because you behaved like that.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, as the father of lies, he uses the condemnation to convince you that you're a bad person. A hopeless case. And that there's something wrong with you that can never be made right.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Here, sin. Oh, you sinned, you're bad. And you're never going to be any good. See that? You're never going to. You'll never, never. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Stay with me. We have just a little bit further to go. So once you buy those lies, they become a part of what we call your personal belief system. You bought the lies and now it's your personal belief system. Now, church, a belief system is not made of passing thoughts and opinions. You know that, don't you? It's the bedrock of how you think. So it's the foundation of your beliefs that are in, have been ingrained in you deeply throughout your life. You with me?
Yes.
Thinking about it? Okay. So the word belief could actually be translated by life. Belief by life. Because people actually live by what they believe. And as someone who's just been beaten and beaten and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected, they've got to have a way out of that. Because all their life from whatever mom and dad did and the next person and the next person and the next person and all they're used to having is being rejected and then You've seen and known these kind of people. Maybe you are one of them, one of those. Them or those. No, I'm kidding. One of those kind of people that you'll just go ahead and reject someone before they can reject you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get too involved because I'll just put my walls up. You'll just have to throw your words over my wall. Because I'm not really going to get very close to you because I'm going to reject you before you reject me. That's the bedrock. That's how life has been built. These people need help.
Yeah.
I've been one of those people.
Yeah.
So have you. Everybody's been rejected. Okay. Now, so the belief system dictates to you what you do. Then that's the way you treat people. Mm-hmm. If you get mad, if you get angry, that's part of the belief system that got cooked in there. That's a good way to put it, cooked. Now let me ask you a question. How long do you think it would take to change the course and the depth of the Grand Canyon? A very long time. What you believe inside is like the deep grooves in the Grand Canyon. You are never going to do it by yourself. You are never going to. And here's your good news in one word, grace. Grace. So grace provides you with all that you need to make the changes. Grace is an empowerment. You have the power to overcome wrong thinking and wrong beliefs. Amen. Grace is not the tool to cover sins. We've already talked about that. The mercy and the blood of Jesus covered your sins.
Yeah.
And grace is not to cover sins so you can keep on sinning.
That's right. No.
That's licentiousness and lasciviousness.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, well, God's already forgiven me. I'll just do what I want to. Well, that'll come back and bite you while you're here on earth. You may still go to heaven, but you'll live like hell while you're here.
Yep, that's right.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now, so God offers mercy, but grace is not mercy. Grace is the power to change. Grace will help you move into what you need to move into. Amen. All right. So you have the power to overcome the wrong thinking. As a believer, you already have faith in the blood of Jesus. So think like this. Think like this. Think like this. I have faith in the blood of Jesus. And through the blood, I have access to the life of Jesus. Life is in the blood. And grace is the manifestation of divine life. So by the blood, you now have grace. Just take it by faith. Whatever comes along, whoever tries to point their finger at you. Now, correction is good, but condemnation will never be good. It's never going to be good. It's never going to help anyone. Beating the sheep doesn't help. Telling them the truth helps.
True.
Leading them helps.
Yes.
Not following the sheep.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Glory to God. I'll tell you all about that one day. So, as you act on this and you cooperate with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will change permanently. You'll start thinking right. Show up. Listen. Keep going. And the bedrock of your thinking will change. And you'll go, no, you're not catching me there. No. And even this. So I did that. I did do it. I run to the Father. I'm not letting you in. And me and the Father will take care of this, not you. And Father will back me up. He's already said so. But I'm giving you my witness. Don't let him in. Don't let him in with grief. Don't let him in with sorrow. Don't let him in with being offended. Don't let him in with any kind of trouble. Don't let him in by focusing on your sickness all the time.
That's good. Yes, ma'am. That is good.
But it hurts. Well, just keep talking over that. Just said, nope, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, by your stripes I am healed. The word says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. And keep going on that.
Yeah.
Turn on 101. Yeah. There's 101 scriptures you can get on YouTube. Brother Copeland's reading them to you from Keith, or you can get them from Keith Moore. And read those scriptures. Do what you need to do. Nancy has some. Dodie Osteen has them. Just keep that word going.
Yes.
Or maybe it's not about sickness. Maybe you need to keep it going about depression or something else. But you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. You come out of that stuff.
Amen.
So remember, today's your fresh start.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all you have to do is cooperate. Church, just stop rehearsing the lies and crying and begging God.
Yeah.
God answers faith.
Boom. That's good.
Start singing God's praises.
Yes.
Then your joy will start flowing like a river. Once your joy flows like a river, that gives you the strength to do what is right, to think what is right, and it'll help you go through and have a life that is pleasing to God. You receive this today? The blood of Jesus has done everything for us. You're the other witness.
Yes. That's so good.
And listen, don't feel bad. You gotta run on up to the throne room every day, up to the courtroom and every day and say, did it again, Lord. I plead the blood. Forgive me. I plead the blood. Listen, I know there's a whole grace group that says that we don't need to repent. I challenge that. I think we do need to repent. I think we need to repent. We're not repenting because we need to get God to get saved again and stuff like that. It's the fellowship part that I'm talking about.
Right.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, meaning that His cleansing power is already there. You come back into fellowship with it.
Right.
So that's what we're dealing with. He loves you no matter what. He's forgiven you no matter what. But if you're not in fellowship with His healing, you're not in fellowship with those things, if you're not in fellowship with your prosperity.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Lord. Okay, so stop looking like this for it to come. It's here. You gotta act like you're worthy. You gotta act like you're healed. You gotta act like you're rich.
That's good.
Act like it.
Yep.
Nope, it's here. I'm 1,000 times richer than I was a few weeks ago. I'm 1,000 times better. I have 1,000 times better life than I did. Jesus' name. It can come in so many ways. Hector's about to be in a magazine. How many? 35,000 people? See, he's already hit the thousandfold. 35,000 people will see him in that magazine. How about that? Isn't that wonderful? You're like, well, if something like that would happen. You're like, well, what's that going to do for him? I don't know. Something. Influence. He's not after fame. He's after influence. Amen. Doesn't mean you are important. You are the one of the pastors of the church, and you are important. But the fact is that it's the influence part.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that next month I'm going to be in a magazine that you've heard of before. It's called The Believer's Voice of Victory. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
That reaches 400,000 households.
Yeah.
That's an influence.
Yeah.
And they wrote a story on me talking about how I have a different life than I did before I knew the word of faith. My life was in the ditch. It was just bad. But so that's an influence. Well, she was able to change. She was able to do it. God helped her.
Yeah.
Look what God did. The big tractor story's in there.
Yeah.
The big tractor story. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. Just win.
Let's win.
Just win.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and win.
That's good.
Let's win. Just like you're at, I took your picture while you were playing soccer, you know. And, and y'all just win. Y'all win all the time. This row right, they're always winning. They're winners. You're a winner. That's who you are. Not a wiener, a winner. You're a winner. They're winners. That's why we say what we say, that Victory Church waxed great, went forward and drew to a very king, very great, blah, blah, blah. Us and our children and their children.
Yeah.
Gabe Jr. is going to be a winner.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Seriously.
Lord. And I fully intend for them to go higher than we ever have.
Yes.
Know more and be wiser than we've ever been.
Yes.
That's our job.
Yeah.
Is to see that all these guys have more favor, more blessing, more appointments, more influence, more money, more strength. Whatever it is they need, it's our job to see that they walk in the kingdom of God and get blessed.
Amen.
That's our job. That's why we say we're a generational church.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand up.
Glory to God.
I'm telling you, it's a new day.
Yeah.
You've overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Just testify to it. When you get home, look in the mirror and say, Your Honor, I have pleaded the blood. That is my testimony, and I've won. Satan, take your hands off my money. Take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my relationships. Take your hands off my mind. 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 Get rid of that stinking thinking and start thinking down the path of God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Bobby and Karina, if you're watching, we love you. Say hi to the baby. We're going to show, they sent us a little clip and we'll show it to you next week. Praise the Lord. We forgot to load it, I think. So, but we will do that. And the baby's just really cute. And of course they're really cute and we love them. And I repent for calling the baby Itty Bitty Bobby because she was born itty bitty. And so that's the power of prophecy. So we declare fast growing,
thriving
Presley in Jesus' name. Although, you know, I mean, you're itty bitty compared to Bobby. I mean, he's a big, strong man, but that baby's growing and doing well. Amen. Well, we miss them. We miss them here in the family. God is good. God. Now, one more thing. Very, very, very important. Vote.
Yes. Absolutely.
Vote. Miss Joy was right down the aisle and that reminded me. We talked earlier. Please vote. Vote Bible. Vote for what we stand for. Mm-hmm. Vote on Tuesday and pray.
Yes.
Pray that things are done right and we will win.
Yes.
There the enemy is already declaring our victory. I think it's so funny. Like, well, it looks like there's going to be a legal win here. Yeah, there is. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. All hearts and minds clear?
Yes.
Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. See y'all Wednesday. Team leaders, we're meeting.